Well, isn't that a lovely song? And isn't that a very scriptural thought? Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." You know, a lot of people never ask God. They see needs and maybe somebody that could be witnessed to, a job that could be done, and they never think about saying, "Well, Lord, how about sending me?" They think, "Why don't the Lord send Brother Aubrey?" Why don't the Lord send Brother Denny? The feller that sees the need, it could be that God's showing that person that he ought to volunteer. Praise the Lord. Here my Lord sent me. Well, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 31. I'm just going to read one verse to get us started, and want to preach on the subject tonight, the battle with bitterness. The battle with bitterness. In our family series, we've thought about a lot of things. We've touched on maybe bitterness for just a little bit in a message, but I want to center on that thought tonight from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, the battle with bitterness. Bitterness can eat up your family. Bitterness can destroy your joy. It can destroy your relationships. It can destroy your fellowship in the church. It can destroy you, bitterness. And so, if bitterness is such a destructive thing, why not talk about it in the terms of our families? Because it could destroy our family. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 31. Well, let's back up to verse 30 and get the context. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So grieving the Holy Spirit could happen if we did some of these things, like is mentioned in verse number 31. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Father, I pray that you'd bless us in this hour. Lord, help us to see the danger of bitterness, how it can rob us of a wonderful life and cause us to be in a constant turmoil, a constant battle, to actually be imprisoned and in bonds from this thing called bitterness. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us. Help us to see the truth of it and the relief from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Has anybody in your church or in your family or among your relationships, your friendships, has anybody ever done something or said something to you that just began to eat on your heart? And you sit and you think about it and you stew about it, and the more you think about it, the madder you get, and pretty soon that anger just turns to maliciousness, a revenge, and you want to get even, and then it becomes something that is just growing inside of you. And that's why it says in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the root of bitterness. And once it takes root and takes up residence within you, you're going to be in a constant battle. And maybe that person that caused you to feel that way, every time their name is brought up, it just causes a real uneasy, sick feeling, maybe butterflies in your stomach, and you just don't like to hear about it. Your heart rate increases when you think about it. Your blood pressure goes up. Your joy leaves you. And you're reliving it all over again. You're reliving the whole thing. And can I just tell you that the Bible says that we're supposed to bring our thoughts into the captivity of Christ. And the Bible says in Philippians that we're to think virtuous thoughts. We're to have control of our thoughts. And when we let our thoughts dwell on those things and we nurse those things, pretty soon it's like growing a baby python. When a little snake is that small, you can take care of that thing pretty good. But you keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, and it gets longer and longer and longer. Pretty soon that thing will do exactly what a snake did in New York City that I read about in the papers a few years ago. A fellow kept one in his apartment until it got so big, one day they came and found him destroyed by that snake. The snake turned on him. And that's what will happen to your bitterness if you let it grow. It will be like that. It'll turn into a Frankenstein. You remember the old Frankenstein movie? The Frankenstein monster was created, and finally it turned on its creator. The monster turned on its creator. And when you let bitterness grow in your heart, you let it take root, and it begins to control your life, then it will be like a Frankenstein monster that turns on its creator. And you, if you have bitterness, is its creator. The other person continues their life. The person you're bitter at, they go on. And they may be enjoying life. And yet, it's eating you up on the inside. I've heard about people who've been under counseling. Counseled a few people myself about maybe abuse when they were young. Maybe some woman has been molested or abused as a young girl, and she thinks about that, and she thinks about that even into adulthood, and she's become so bitter. That thing is growing in her, and she cannot enjoy life. And every time she thinks about it, she is molested and abused over and over and over again because she keeps thinking about it. And maybe the little boy that was beaten as a child, beaten unmercifully by a cruel father. And every time he thinks about it, that bitterness grows and grows and grows. And the more he thinks about it, he's beaten all over again, time after time after time, because he relives that experience. Those things need to be released and put away. Now, there are emotions that are not sin. Anger may or may not be sin. The Bible does say, "Be ye angry and sin not." Remember that? So it is possible to have what we call a righteous anger. If somebody tried to harm a family member or a friend or a member of this church, I'd be angry about it probably. But anger gets out of that cage, and then it becomes dangerous and it becomes sin. Maybe guilt is not always a sin. Sometimes God may allow guilt to come into your heart to clue you in to something you've done needs to be repented of. And guilt in that case is not sin. It's good to have that guilt. So it's kind of like a symptom of a physical illness. When you feel pain, for instance, that's a good signal that there may be something wrong inside that needs to be doctored. And so the same thing is true of guilt. If we have guilt over something. Now, there's false guilt that would be wrong. And false guilt can paralyze you. It can paralyze you. But real guilt, true guilt, conviction of the Holy Spirit, for instance, can cause you to see what's wrong and get it straightened out. But Satan will use those things. Grief is not always a sin. When you lose a loved one, for instance, I mean, what person with a heart would not grieve? We grieve when we lose loved ones, and that's normal and right. And I always tell people, you know, when you're around somebody that's lost a loved one, don't scold them for crying, don't scold them for grieving. I mean, good night. What do you expect? That's what people do. You lose a loved one, you grieve, and that's normal and good and healthy. But there comes a time when you have to get past it, and if a person decides to live in grief all the time, then it would be sin. Jesus came that we'd have life and have it more abundantly. And so we have to get past that. But there is one emotion that's always sin, and that's bitterness. Bitterness. You say, but what if somebody did something wrong to you? Remember I said anger is not always sin? But bitterness and anger are two different things. And bitterness takes up a root inside and grows there and destroys your life. Bitterness has no place, and unforgiveness has no place in the life of the Christian. If you spit in my eye, I may get mad about it. I may punch you. But I'll get over it. Now, if I let that turn into bitterness and it boils inside of me and I live my life to see you hurt and to take revenge out on you, then that's turned into bitterness. You may question somebody's motives, but don't let that motive of somebody else or their actions turn into bitterness. Now, bitterness can creep into your family relationships, and it can destroy your family. And that's why I'm preaching on it tonight. And it can do great harm to you and probably to those around you. Six things that bitterness will do to your life. Number one, bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Why? Two reasons. Because bitterness necessitates that you walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. You only have two choices. You can walk in the Spirit or you can walk in the flesh. For the Christian, that's all the options. That's all that's on the table. Walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. And you got to do one of the two. There is no in between. It's your choice. Walk in the flesh. And if you decide to let bitterness live in there, do you think that's walking in the Spirit? So if it's not walking in the Spirit, what is it? It's walking in the flesh. All Christians have that choice every single day. We can't control what happens in life. We can't control the circumstances. Somebody might do something to us that's totally unfair and unjust. And some of you are sitting here tonight and you've been treated unfairly in some situation in your life, maybe several times. And probably, truth be known, all of us have suffered something like that to some degree. And we get treated unfairly. That's the way life is. We live in a world that has been corrupted by sin, the sin nature of man, and the curse from the Garden of Eden. That curse covers our world. And so natural disasters and interpersonal relationships, it's going to happen. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt by some boyfriend, some girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a child. Somebody's going to hurt you. And sometimes they'll do it maliciously. And you didn't even provoke it. And so what do? Well, you can decide to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. I'm telling you something that'll work now. You can walk in the Spirit or you can walk in the flesh. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. You know where I'm going. Galatians 5 verse 22. Are you with me? All right, you got a King James Bible. When you come to church, you bring your Bible so you can study the Bible, right? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, now he's going to tell us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Let's see. This means what comes out of a person, the fruit that is born of in a person who the Holy Spirit has control of. Look at it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, these are the things that you hold back from the people around you when you're walking in the flesh, right? If you're walking in the flesh, you're not going to produce this fruit. And it doesn't just affect that person that you're bitter at. These things, if you're walking in the flesh, friend, that affects everybody that you're in contact with. It affects your husband. You may be bitter at somebody from years ago. You may be bitter at somebody that's dead. Somebody that wasn't even maybe related to you. But if that bitterness is growing in you and you're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit, guess what? That will affect your marriage relationship. That will affect your relationship of showing love, joy, and peace and so forth to your children and vice versa. Walking in the flesh has a price, and it's not a good one. You're not long-suffering. You're not going along with things the way you should. Now look at Galatians chapter 6. The next chapter in Galatians drives this point home. In Galatians chapter 6, he says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh..." See it? There it is. Underline it. Flesh. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap wonderful rewards." Is that what it says? What? Corruption. My wife set a little pot of meat in the utility room a couple of days ago that she meant to throw out. I don't know if she put that there thinking I would see it and carry it out, or whether she intended to carry it out. I hadn't mentioned it to her, but I got close to that this morning. It's sitting on the dryer, and it was getting ripe. Can I tell you that I believe corruption had set in? That should have been buried days ago. You know what happens in our life when we're not walking in the Spirit because of bitterness that comes from who knows where, from some source a long time ago perhaps, but it will cause corruption that you yourself will reap. Now, you don't want to reap corruption, do you? How would you like to eat out of that pot of meat that I just saw out there this morning that had been sitting there for a few days? I wouldn't want to eat that, but when you are walking in the flesh, that's what you're dishing out to yourself and those around you. Bitterness will devastate you spiritually. Holding bitterness in and walking in the flesh is going to hurt your relationships. Probably, and it's going to hurt your relationship with God. You can't walk in the flesh and be on good terms with God. If you're not on good terms with your fellow man, you're not going to be on good terms with God. If you're mad at your brother, you're mad at your sister, you're mad at somebody in your family, and it turns into bitterness, you can't really be on good terms with God. Let me give you an example. Most parents probably have experienced this sometime or other. You've either done it when you were a child or some of your children did it to you. They've done something. They've been disobedient sometime. And they knew that you had discovered their disobedience. They knew, but you're about to confront them, but they're going to try to head it off. And they come and want to throw their arms around you and love on you and show you their wonderful love. And what do? You say, wait a minute. That's not going to work. You can't be disobedient to me and expect to love on me at the same time. Huh? How many of you have done that? Well, no, don't raise your hands. Yeah. You can't love on somebody and be disobedient at the same time. And guess what? When you're walking in the flesh, you're being disobedient to God. He said, be ye filled with the Spirit. Right? Ephesians 5:18, and be ye filled with the Spirit. You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the flesh, you can't love on God while you're being disobedient. Does that make sense? And so when you're trying to love on God, you're trying to pray and your prayers seem like they're hitting a brass ceiling and it just seems like God is not listening and you're getting no answers and your prayers are falling to the floor, it could be because there's some bitterness there that you've decided you're going to hang on to and you're going to nurse it and feed it until it grows into a 20-foot python, and at the same time you want to love on God and God's not having any of it. You can't love on God and be disobedient at the same time. Are we getting that? And so, bitterness. It will destroy you, devastate you spiritually. Now, let me give you the second thing. We're talking about the battle with bitterness. Number two, bitterness will destroy you physically. Not only spiritually, but it will destroy you physically. It's like a constantly running machine. What if you left your car out in the driveway, idling all night, every night, and then when you get to work during the day, you leave the key in it and you lock it up and leave it idling all the day long. You drive it home, you park it that night, and you leave it idling through the night, and you just let it run 24/7. Now, is that car going to last as well as it would if you shut it off and let it rest a little bit in between times? You know what you're doing to your body when you've got bitterness working in there? That bitterness is keeping things churning and running, and it's like your motor's running all the time. You're not getting any rest. And it takes its toll on you physically. Medical doctors say that bitterness and stress that comes from it will do a big number on your body, on your physical and mental health. Bitterness has been linked to glandular problems, high blood pressure, cardiac disorder. By the way, they believe that stress, and much of it is caused by bitterness, stress is the greatest contributor to heart disease. It leads to ulcers and even insanity. I can tell some of you have been too bitter too long. One leading psychiatrist wrote, 90% of all people in insane asylums could be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive or to be forgiven. That was a leading psychiatrist that said that. Listen to this article from the Gospel Herald. There was a man whose health was good. He was sturdy and strong. His heart action and blood pressure were fine. Then his father died, and he got into a prolonged legal dispute with his sister about their father's will. The case went to court, and the sister won. From that day on, the man could think of nothing more than the lawsuit and his sister. He talked about it, he thought about it, he filled himself with it, and it became an obsession. Each day, he grew to hate his sister more. Then he began to have difficulty with his heart and blood pressure. Next, his kidneys bothered him. Before many months, complications killed him. It seems obvious that he died from bodily injuries brought on by powerful emotion. I believe the man killed himself with death by bitterness. Hey, that's the way things happen. It hurts us mentally and physically. This man committed spiritual suicide. He committed physical suicide. That bitterness was the trigger. Well, are you in a war of bitterness? Are you in a battle with bitterness? If so, then you're going to get some information here that might help you tonight, make you at least aware of it, and seek to get it fixed. Now, number three, bitterness will discourage you emotionally. Not only will it devastate you spiritually, destroy you physically, but it will discourage you emotionally. Where there's bitterness, there's discouragement. You get discouraged. When you're bitter, you can't have joy bubbling over. And you will begin, the victim of bitterness will begin to develop a negative personality. Everything's negative. Everything's critical. Everything is paranoid. You become judgmental of others, and you're looking for the faults. Turns into gossip, turns into criticism, just negative words. People who have bitterness working inside of them. I mean, some people can't even go to a football game because of it. When they see the team huddling out there, they think they're talking about them. it turns into a serious thing. And I know a preacher who worked for another pastor. And when the younger pastor told the older pastor that he was going to resign and go to another ministry, the older pastor became very negative and critical and fault-finding and paranoid, accusing the younger pastor of everything under the sun, of trying to destroy his church and influence his people to leave the church. And later on, younger pastor was hurt very, very much by the older pastor's actions towards him. And later on, the younger pastor learned that that older pastor who was paranoid had, in fact, in his younger years, had been the staff member for another pastor himself. And he, in fact, did lead a revolt. He did lead in a church split. He took people out of that church and went and started a church of his own. And from that day forward, that pastor was always negative and critical and paranoid about anybody else around him. I know, because I was the younger preacher. It will work on you and make you paranoid that people are out to get you. You know, you ever see a teacher, maybe, I don't know if they do this nowadays, probably cruel and unusual punishment, I guess, in school. But did you ever see a teacher make a student hold a book out at arm's length and just hold it there? You know, a 3-pound or 4-pound book doesn't seem very heavy, but when you hold it out there for a long time, you know, and it gets heavier and heavier, and finally it feels like it weighs 20 pounds and 50 pounds, and finally you just can't hold it up anymore. You know that that's the way bitterness works. The longer you try to hold it up, it'll cause discouragement. That's why, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 12. I want to show you this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 12. We believe the scripture, don't we? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 12. He says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." When these afflictions come upon us, perhaps it's like in chapter 12 of Hebrews, maybe it's brought on by some chastisement of the Lord, but holding that book out in front of you, gets hard to hold it up. And he says to lift it up. Let your knees be strong. Let your arms be strong. Discouragement will ruin you emotionally. Number four, bitterness will divide the fellowship. Hey, we're doing good here at Liberty Baptist Church. We've always had a good spirit. Well, almost always. We've had a time or two where things got a little cloudy just for a little while, but But by and large, I think 99% of the time, since we started here in 1997, I think our church has had a wonderful spirit. And, you know, it's like your marriage. It's like your family. Everything's not perfect all the time, but if you've got a good family and things are going sweet, 99% of the time, you ought to be grateful, thankful that it's that good, because some families don't live that way. Some families live in constant turmoil. Some families are at each other's throat all the time, and some churches are that way. And our church has not been that way. And so, you know what we ought to do? Since we've historically had a good spirit in this place, we ought to protect it. We ought to protect the good spirit in this place. We ought to protect the joyful, cooperative spirit. We don't have a lot of criticism and gossip and people sticking their nose into other people's business. And if we ever get the if any of us ever get a whiff of the idea that we're sticking our nose where it ought not to be, or we're being critical and gossipy, we better stop it right then. Hey, let the people take care of the problems that ought to be taken care of. God didn't appoint you to be a spiritual policeman. God, I'm the pastor, and God didn't appoint me to be a spiritual policeman. You know what my job is? Primarily to preach the Word of God and to shepherd the flock. And I'm not supposed to be a spiritual detective to go and peep in your windows and see what you're doing and follow you around town and see what you're doing to decide whether or not you're spiritually all right or not. Truth is, we're all spiritually deficient. We all need help. And so if God didn't appoint the pastor to be a spiritual detective, then you shouldn't be either. Don't look for everybody's faults. Bitterness. Once you get bitterness, and it might not have been caused by anybody in this congregation, but if bitterness creeps into you and it takes root, and that bitterness, you won't let it go, then the next thing you know, you will be a problem in the church. You'll be a problem to the fellowship if you let bitterness grow. And we're all human, and we can all be offended, and we can get crossways with one another maybe once in a while, and that's okay if we get over it. But if we make a habit because of bitterness of getting crossways with people, then it will cause big problems for this church or any other church. We don't want to be like the little boy said about his mother. The dad said to his son, "Jimmy, I'm taking mom to the doctor. She's got colitis." He said, "Colitis." He said, "Who did she collide with this time?" And you know, if you've got a reputation of colliding with people, try getting a sweet spirit and look and see if you've got bitterness in there somewhere. Well, none of us. Truth is, we read back there in Ephesians that none of us really deserve God's forgiveness, do we? And so if somebody did something wrong to you, you say, "I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I'm never going to forgive them." Then you're crossways with God, because he tells them, go back there to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. Once again, let's read it. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." That's different than being bitter, isn't it? "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Ah, there it is. I mean, maybe God meant for everybody to forgive other people except for you. I think God meant all of us, didn't he? Huh? Nod your head, or I know you're the one that's being bitter. Yeah. And so he says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Hey, do you know why, if you're saved today, you know why God forgave you? He didn't forgive you because you deserved being forgiven. He didn't forgive you because you're a nice lady or you're a nice guy. God didn't forgive you because you were almost sinless. God forgave you for Christ's sake. Jesus, the one that died on the cross of Calvary, he suffered all of your sins. He shed his blood. He wore the thorn of crowns for you. You're the one that sinned, and that's why he died, and you didn't deserve to be forgiven. Now, are you going to hold in those grudges and that bitterness and refuse to forgive somebody else? Hey, do you remember the story in the Gospel of Matthew? There was the steward who owed his master a lot of money, and his master called him in to reckon with him. And he said, "It's time to pay up, bud." And the guy said, "Oh, I don't have any way to pay." He said, "Please, have mercy, have compassion." And his master forgave him. Remember that? And the master said, "Okay, I'll forgive you. Go on." And so the guy went straight out, found a fellow that was underneath him and demanded payment for him, and he wouldn't be able to pay either. So guess what? Did this guy forgive him? No, sir. He said, "Put him in prison." And the guy said, "Please have mercy on me. Have compassion." He said, "Nothing doing. You're going to prison, buddy." Well, the main master found out, and he reckoned with this guy again because he didn't do what he had been shown. He didn't show the same compassion, the same mercy that he had been shown. You know what that tells us? God expects us, because he has had compassion and forgiveness for us, that we need to do the same. And if we refuse, we're going against God's own example and God's own command. Well, bitterness. Bitterness. Let me give you number five. Bitterness will defile your relationships. Bitterness will defile your relationships. There's a spillover effect. It will spill over and ruin your marriage, your children. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any," listen to this, "root, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Bitterness will defile your relationships. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 13. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps are under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known." God knows that if we let bitterness grow in our lives, it's going to spill over into all of our relationships. Number six, and we'll be done. Number six, bitterness will deprive you of a blessing. If you bring that bitter, critical spirit with you everywhere you go, you'll not have the blessings on your life. Now, how do we remove bitterness? Well, in Hebrews, where we read about the root of bitterness, the only way I know to get rid of it is kind of like weeds in your garden. You can break that weed off at the ground and throw it out of your garden, and what's it going to do? It's just going to grow right back every time. You've got to rip that thing out by the roots. Roots and all got to come out of the ground and get rid of it. The children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, they were thirsty. They came to the waters called Marah, and the waters were bitter. Moses had to correct that situation. You remember what he did? He cut a tree and threw the tree in the waters and made the waters sweet, removed the bitterness. You know what's going to fix the bitterness in us? We've got to go back to the cross of Christ. We've got to go to Jesus himself and understand that he paid for that bitterness along with everything else that we've done wrong. He paid for it. And we've got to go back and confess it to him and let him rip it out by the roots. Let him throw the cross in there and make it sweet again. Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." What's malice? Malice is that desire to get even. And when you got bitterness in you, there's something there that just makes you want to get even. And we can't be that way as Christians. It will ruin our lives. Let Jesus take care of it. He's the only answer. I mean, you can look in the psychology books and you can find some Band-Aids. You can go to a counselor that doesn't know the Word of God, and he might put some Band-Aids on it that'll make it feel better. He can tell you to vent your anger, vent on somebody. I think a lot of that is nonsense. If I've got stuff pent up in me, I need to take it to the Lord Jesus and let him deal with it instead of me, because he'll do a good job of it. If I go around venting to people, I'm probably just going to make the matter worse. Jesus can fix your problem. He fixes it on an altar. He fixes it in your family prayer time. He fixes it when you get on your knees by your bed. He fixes it when you take out the Bible and you say, Lord, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. Hardest words in the English language, I've heard somebody say that. Hardest words to utter is, I have sinned. When you got bitterness, you've sinned. It's always wrong. And coming in confession, 1 John 1:9, what does it say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, A-L-L, all unrighteousness. Is bitterness unrighteousness? Yes, it is. Will He cleanse it when you confess it? Yes, when you ask Him, you confess it and you say, this is wrong. I agree with you, God. You've been right all along and I've been wrong. And I'm going to confess my bitterness as sin. And I'm asking you to forgive me for it. And I'm claiming the promise. You said you'd forgive me. Listen, I'm telling you good news. This is not bad news. This is good news. The good news is when you confess it and say, Lord, will you forgive me? His answer is yes. I forgive you, child. And then you can walk away with a clean inside and start making things better. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we're thankful that you've given us instructions in your book about bitterness and how it can be so destructive, not only in our families, but in all of our relationships, even at church or on the job. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize when we have that bitterness. And Lord, there may be people here tonight who have it, or maybe they know somebody that's got it, and maybe they can be a help to someone else. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be honest about it and just say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, I've been bitter. And I know what I haven't let go of, and I'm afraid it's going to turn into a Frankenstein that's going to turn on me one of these days. And Lord, I'm confessing it, and I'm asking you to forgive me for it. I pray that that would be the prayer of our heart tonight, Lord. Lord, if there's somebody watching by live stream or somebody in this auditorium that's not saved, I pray that they'd come tonight and ask for forgiveness once for all, forever, and accept the Lord Jesus as their own Lord and Savior and be born again this very night. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.